everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love to connect with you. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus outbreak, we aren't meeting in person right now, but there are still a lot of ways to connect with our community. On Sunday mornings, you can worship with us online through our YouTube channel at 10 a.m. or join us for a special family ministry live stream worship over on our Facebook page at 10:30. We are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our pastors are here to support you and connect you with our community so that you will remember, even during this time of social distancing, that you are not alone. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
A reading from Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now when the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes, the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Then the fire of the Lord burned against them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. But the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire abated. So that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned against them. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at."
Well, having done a little bit of tent camping as a kid over overnight camp, and then as a summer, spent a summer as a counselor at that same camp, I can assure you that camping and being in the wilderness can bring out the best and the worst in us. But unlike when you choose to go tent camping, we all find ourselves in a moment of a wilderness type experience, and it's one that we didn't choose to put ourselves in. We are finding ourselves in this moment where we are out of our normal rhythms of life, and we are finding ourselves on a path that we didn't expect to find ourselves on. And I think that if we look to the wisdom of the scriptures, we can find some help and some guidance in there to help us at this time. Specifically, if we look to the story of the Israelites and their wilderness experience, we can find some guidance as to how to make it forward in this time and what to watch out for. Now, as we begin this journey through some of these wilderness stories, I want to say that it's interesting to me that we have these great stories coming to us from a people who found themselves in the wilderness when they didn't expect to find themselves there. And so if these stories feel familiar, and if these stories feel like they might be more relevant than ever before, I think you are catching on to some of the parallels between what was going on in that time and what's going on now. Now, the reality is that at that time when these stories were happening and when these stories were being told, we need to remember two very important things about that situation in that time. And the first of which is that in the ancient days, they expected that the gods, or God, would send bad things as punishment for their bad behavior and send good things as rewards for their good behavior. And the reality is that we know that it's a little different than that. We know that God shows us unconditional love and that God does not punish nor reward in that way. Similarly, we need to remember in this time that God did not cause the coronavirus, that God did not cause the context for that to happen, and God isn't sending it to punish us. Like any good parent, God wants us to learn from this experience, but God doesn't want us to suffer. But there was a different sense of things back then. And so if we look at some of these stories and we take their understanding of God and we try to apply that to our understanding of God, we might be missing the point of what's behind some of these stories. But if we look at what these stories maybe are meant to teach us about human beings, about our way of living, then we might have something to learn here. And the additional thing that's going on in the midst of this is that we need to remember that these are cautionary tales, some of them in particular, about people who already had what they needed to survive, but weren't satisfied with that. There were these people that had the bread, they had the food that they needed, but they were getting tired of it, and so they found themselves wanting more or craving more. So this story in particular, the one we're going to explore in just a moment, isn't about people who don't have enough. There are other places in Scripture that talk to us about what to do with people who don't have enough. And this is not about people who don't have enough. This is about people who have enough but started to crave more. And so if you find yourself in a situation where you don't have enough food, I do want to hear from you directly so that we can make sure you have what you need. And I want you to know that this scripture is talking about people and their cravings. So just like a kid that goes on a tent camping trip might have a craving or two along the way, the people of Israel, when they were on their wilderness journey, had some cravings and they had some needs as well. And what started off at the beginning of their journey as a situation where they were simply, maybe not quite so simply, but they were stating that they needed bread and they needed meat to survive was something that God heard. And in the context of the wilderness journey, especially in the story of Exodus, God heard their cries. And then God did something great. God sent them manna daily so that they would have the bread from heaven that they needed, at least according to the scripture. And so every day they would collect the bread that they needed, and they had the bread they needed to survive. God had also provided clean water for them as well. And what it says in Exodus is that for 40 years, they ate this bread and survived just fine. Now, towards the end of their journey, there was a group of people that were seemingly getting a little dissatisfied with this bread. In fact, actually, it says that there was a small group of people, the rabble, the troublemakers, as it might have been said, were looking around and they were seeing the bread and they were getting dissatisfied. And so they started talking about their cravings and their discontent with a few other people, and they got more people whipped up about this. And they had this funny conversation where they said, you know, remember back in Egypt when we had all the bread and all the meat we could eat? Oh, and remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the garlic? Oh, boy, were those the good old days when we had all that we could eat. And we weren't stuck with just this miracle bread from heaven, as it were. Rather, we could eat of our fill. Incidentally, never in this moment mentioning the fact that they were in slavery when they had all of this, but they move on because they were discontent at this point. They had cravings that they wanted to explore. And so what happens in the narrative is that God sends quail, these birds, to come and surround the camp. And it says that there are piles and piles, deep piles of quail that are swept in from the sea, as it says, and are landed on the outside of the camp. And then the people, the people that are hungry, say that they're going to go and they're going to collect the quail and that they're going to eat them. And it says that they work day and night to collect them. And then according to the text, what happens is that before they could even get the meat out of their mouths and into their bodies, that they had the meat go bad in their mouth. And that God sent a plague on the people who had eaten the quail. And what it says next is hard for us to understand. But they said that they named that place, they named it Kibroth Hattaavah, which means the graves of craving. Because what happened was the people who hadn't eaten the quail had to bury those who did. And they moved on from the journey from there. Now that's a harsh story, isn't it? That's a bit of a cautionary tale, but it speaks to some important things that I think we want to keep in mind as we walk through our own wilderness season. Now just as a reminder, or as just a way of explaining this, what I think of this story, I kind of imagine a bunch of Israelites sitting around and talking about different things. And I kind of imagine a family sitting around and some kids maybe complaining about the bread that they have or complaining about the life that they want, lusting after things that they can't have. And I kind of imagine the moms and the dads or the grandparents kind of reminding them about the story and saying, hey, remember that story about the quail? We know how that happened. We know how that ended. And I think the kids would then start eating the food that they had. I also think there was probably a child or two that would hear that story and they would look to their elders and would say to them, did God really do that to the people? And I don't know if they could give an answer, but certainly they would say, maybe not. Maybe God did. But I don't think that's the point of the story. They would say, remember, it's about the craving that the people had and the challenge that that presented. And so I think for us today, when we can put into context that this story is really, I believe, a story about people, that it isn't a story about God and how God acts, and it isn't a story about what to do and help people who don't have what they need, but rather this is about the dangers of going into our cravings, we can look at the story in this wilderness moment that we're in and allow it to be helpful for us and allow us to understand that there's a cautionary tale here for us to pay attention to, that there is a danger to following the lead of our cravings, that there is a chance in which if we follow the lead of our cravings, not only could we do damage to ourselves, but we could do damage to other people as well. That's one of the things that happened in that story, is not only did the people who had those original cravings be challenged and have problems, but also the people that they got to follow them. And so doing and following our own cravings can not only do damage to ourselves, but can do damage to other people as well. Now, I realize that that might sound a little bit on the nose right now, given our current circumstances, but consider the source. This is an ancient story from ancient times, reminding us of something that is generally true about people, that when we follow our cravings, we often do damage not just to ourselves, but we do damage to the people around us. And we need to remember that when we're in the wilderness, that this can be extra harmful to those around us. So I think that as we make our way through this wilderness season, where we find ourselves at a distance, when we find ourselves out of our normal rhythms, when we find ourselves lacking, I think we want to pay attention to those cravings. Not the craving of I want my favorite pizza, or I want to go back to my favorite ice cream shot, or any of those kind of things. Rather, those cravings for those things that we know aren't good for ourselves. Those cravings for those moments and those experiences, perhaps, where we know that if we reach for those things, that we are going to do damage not only to ourselves, but potentially to other people around us. And we want to watch those cravings, and we want to avoid those things. Because as we know, the wilderness is difficult. We know this wilderness season that we're in is challenging. And we know it's a path that we didn't expect to find ourselves on. So as such, these things will come around. And as such, we need to watch for these things. Because when we are able to do this for ourselves, we're able to do it for other people as well. So maybe there's going to be a moment that comes up where you're going to be confronted with one of these cravings, with one of these desires for something that really isn't good for you, that really isn't good for the people in your life. And maybe you can remember the story of the people and the quail. And we can allow this ancient story to be a reminder to us of the challenge that we face in the wilderness, that our cravings can get the best of us, that our cravings can get us to do things that will be harmful to ourselves and harmful to the people around us. And if we can be aware that in this challenging season, these cravings have this potential to harm us, I think that we can then see that coming and allow it to not damage ourselves and not allow it to damage others around us. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.